जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद, हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे जय श्री गोपाल जय श्री गोपाल जय श्री गोपाल जय श्री गोपाल जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद निताय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल निताय गौर हरि बोल जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत His Divine Grace Abhay Charanarvind Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai Shri Gopal Ji Ki Jai Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्ट प्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 12 Chapter is titled Beyond Renunciation and Knowledge. Text 13. So 11, 12, 13. मत कामाह रमणम जारम अस्वरूप विदह अबलाह ब्रह्म माम परमं प्रापुः संगात् शत सहस्रशः। मत्कामारमणं जारम् अस्वरूपविदो बलाः ब्रह्म मां परमं प्रापुः संगाच्छत सहस्रशः। मत्कामारमणं जारम् अस्वरूपविदो बलाः ब्रह्म मां परमं प्रापुः संगाच्छत सहस्रशः। मत्कामारमणं जारम् अस्वरूपविदो बलाः ब्रह्म मां परमं प्रापुः संगाच्छत सहस्रशः। कामारमणं जारम् अस्वरूपविदो बलाः ब्रह्म मां परमं प्रापुः सहस्रशः। मत्कामारमणं जारम् अस्वरूपविदो बलाः ब्रह्म मां परमं प्रापुः गच्छत सहस्रशः। जारम् मत मी कामाह दोज हु डिजायर्ड रमणम अ चार्मिंग लवर जारम द लवर ऑफ अनदर्स वाइफ अस्वरूप विदह विदह नॉट नोइंग माय एक्चुअल सिचुएशन अबलाह women brahma the absolute mam me paramam supreme prapaho they achieved sangat by association शत सहस्रशः बाय हंड्रेड्स ऑफ थाउजेंड्स. ट्रांसलेशन: ऑल दोज हंड्रेड्स ऑफ थाउजेंड्स ऑफ गोपीज अंडरस्टैंडिंग मी टू बी देयर मोस्ट चार्मिंग लवर and ardently desiring me in that way were unaware of my actual position. Yet, by intimately associating with me, the gopis attained me, the Supreme Absolute Truth. Purport: the words asvarupa vidaha, not understanding my actual position or form, indicate that the lovely gopis were so completely absorbed in conjugal love for Lord Krishna that they were not aware of the Lord's unlimited potencies as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this and other meanings of the word asvarupa vidaha. In Sanskrit, the word vid also means to acquire. Thus, asvarupa vidaha indicates that the gopis, like other pure devotees of the Lord, were not interested in achieving sarupya mukti, the liberation of acquiring a bodily form similar to the Lord's. Were the gopis to obtain a bodily form like the Lord's, how could the Lord execute his conjugal pastimes of dancing with the gopis and embracing them? Since the gopis had realized their eternal spiritual forms as servitors of the Lord, the word Swarup also may indicate their own spiritual bodies. And thus a Swarupa Vidaha means that the gopis never thought, as materialists do, of their own bodily beauty. Although the gopis are the most beautiful girls in the Lord's creation, they never thought of their own bodies, but rather were always meditating on the transcendental body of Lord Krishna. Although we cannot imitate the gopis' exalted conjugal feelings, we can follow their superb example of practical Krishna consciousness. They naturally took shelter of Lord Krishna and achieved the highest perfection of life. Please repeat the translation. All those hundreds of thousands of gopis, understanding me to be their most charming lover, and ardently desiring me in that way, were unaware of my actual position. Yet, by intimately associating with me, the gopis attained me, the Supreme Absolute Truth. ओम ज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकम्. वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च. नमो ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नीति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वत देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वंदे श्री गुरुं दीन तारणं वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धोभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं आराध्यो भगवान् व्रजेशतनयस् तद्धाम वृंदावनम् रम्या काचिदुपासना व्रजवधो वर्गेणया कल्पिता श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रमाणममलं प्रेमापुमर्थो महान् श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदं तत्रादर न परः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। वेरी डिफिकल्ट टॉपिक इज बीइंग डिस्कस्ड हियर, द टॉपिक ऑफ द गोपीज एंड कृष्णा। दिस इज अ पार्ट ऑफ द उद्धव गीता। दिस इज चैप्टर 12। ऑलमोस्ट फॉर 23 चैप्टर्स श्री कृष्णा इंस्ट्रक्ट्स उद्धवा on various topics, and in this chapter he is specifically speaking about two topics. First, the importance of the association of devotees, and second, which is the section which has started just now, just before this verse, is the super excellent devotion of the gopis of Vrindavan. Ramya kachid upasana vrajavadhu vargena ya kalpita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered the love of the gopis of Vrindavan for Krishna as being the topmost. No one in all of creation, material or spiritual, can love Krishna in the same way that the gopis do. It is incomparable, unparalleled, one without a second. Therefore, all devotees of Krishna consider the gopis to be most worshipable. There is no question of any tinge of materialism in the relationship between the gopis and Krishna. However, because in general people are not very well acquainted with the principles of devotional service, especially the mood of Vrindavan, Therefore, the topics of the relationship of the gopis with Krishna and such pastimes, they are the subject of much controversy and misunderstanding. So many people today in India would criticize Krishna because of his relationship with the gopis. Can we switch off this fan, please? Air conditioning has started, so no need for fans now. So it is a subject of much controversy. People misunderstand and they criticize Krishna. Why do they criticize Krishna? Because they try to superimpose on Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their own conceptions of morality, their own experience of this world, and therefore they think that because it is not right or moral for them as human beings to do such things, like one man dancing with many girls, they think that this idea should also apply to the Supreme Lord. But because they do not understand devotional service, they do not understand Krishna, they do not understand the gopis, therefore they speak like this. So Krishna has felt it fit to speak as part of the Uddhav Gita on this important topic. Of course, he has given lessons on the glory of the gopis' love for Krishna to Uddhava earlier, many years earlier. It is important to remember that the Uddhav Gita was spoken by Krishna to Uddhava at the very end of his Prakat Leela, which means his manifest pastimes. Krishna, at the time of his disappearance from this world, was almost 125 years old by worldly estimation. And he sent Uddhava to Krishna, to Vrindavan, soon after he moved from Vrindavan to Mathura. Krishna moved from Vrindavan to Mathura when he was approximately 10 and a half years old, between 10 and a half and 11 years of age. And soon after that, he sent Uddhava to Mathura. So more than 100 years had elapsed from the time that he had given the first lesson. How is it that he gave the first lesson to Uddhava? Uddhava is considered the most exalted devotee of Krishna in Mathura and Dwarka. Even though these associates of Krishna in Mathura and Dwarka are so exalted, so pure, nevertheless, they do not represent the highest stage of devotion that is ever possible in existence. That is possible only for the Brajavasis. And even then, even more so for the gopis of Braja. So Krishna wanted to make Uddhava aware of the super excellent position of the gopis of Vrindavan, in general about the Brajavasis, and specifically about the gopis of Vrindavan. So he sent Uddhava there. Another reason for his sending Uddhava there was that not only did he want Uddhava to learn about this, he wanted Uddhava to come and speak about this to the residents of Mathura and Dwarka so that they also should become aware of the glory of the gopis and the Brajavasis in general. And even more so, through Uddhava, he wanted to broadcast the glories of the Brajavasis and especially the gopis to the whole world. And indeed, what a lesson Uddhava learnt when he went to Vrindavan. He was astounded, spellbound, to see the exalted nature of the gopis of Vrindavan, and especially that of Srimati Radharani. So Uddhava already was aware now of the glories of the gopis after having visited Vrindavan. And he was so struck with wonder and he was so deeply impressed and touched by the love of the gopis for Vrindavan that he did not pray to go back to Godhead, to the spiritual world. He prayed to take a birth in Vrindavan. Vrindavan, of course, is manifested by Krishna also in the material world when he appears. Uddhava wanted to appear as a blade of grass or a clump of grass. He did not feel himself qualified to ask Krishna for a birth as a gopi. That would be too much to ask for. Uddhava, in his humility, was thinking, the gopis are so high. How can I even think of praying that I should become a gopi? How can I be so impudent, so audacious as to ask such a thing? What am I worthy of? If I can simply receive the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis, then my life will be successful. I will have achieved the highest possible destination in my life. This was the prayer of Uddhava. Even Brahma prayed in a similar fashion in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He also prayed to be a blade of grass in Vrindavan so that the gopis' lotus feet would be imprinted upon his head and the dust of their lotus feet would fall on his head. So Uddhava and Brahma, two such exalted souls, they speak in such glowing terms about the glory of the love of the gopis of Vrindavan. So in order that, you know, we get a deeper understanding of the real reasons why we should not misunderstand the gopis' love for Krishna, or why we should consider them and understand them to be very exalted, I thought I will present a few points today. It will also help us to discuss with others when others ask us, oh, you're a devotee of Krishna, but Krishna was simply just doing Rasleela, dancing with the gopis. So I will also dance with many girls. So you may have met people who criticize and who are so offensive about Krishna. So it is important for us as devotees to get a deeper and clearer understanding of why it is, what is the nature of the relationship of the gopis with Krishna. Already, of course, I have spoken about Uddhava and Brahma. So we see that great personalities in creation, they worship the gopis. They consider the gopis' relationships with Krishna to be very pure, very pristine, very sublime. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, who has come in the guise of a devotee, come in the mood and with the complexion of Srimati Radharani. Gopi Bhavadyuti Suvalitam Naumi Krishna Swarupam. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to like, especially in his Anti Leela, he demonstrated this more and more. He would love to hear about the pastimes of the gopis with Krishna, especially from the mouths of his intimate associates like Ramananda Rai, Swarup Damodar, etc. He would often, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, dream about the Rasa Leela. And he would relish such dreams. And when the dream would break and he would wake up, he would feel very sad that he had stopped seeing the Rasa Leela. So naturally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not an ordinary personality. The demigods in the universe also would watch the Rasa Leela in amazement. They would shower flowers. Even though the demigods are devotees, many of them are great devotees, but still they could only watch the Rasa Leela from a very great distance, from above the clouds. They could not come inside the Rasa Leela arena. Even the greatest of the demigods, Lord Shiva, wanted to enter, but he also had a difficult time. He could not enter, and only after he dipped into the river, into Yamuna, some say Yamuna, some say this Kund, that, there are different narrations. But in any case, he manifested the form of a gopi. And it was only then that he was able to enter into the Rasleela to witness it. But he could not dance with Krishna. He could only come and witness. And then of course, in his form as Gopeshwar Mahadev, he is also the guardian of the Rasa Sthali. He stands there to protect the place which is most sacred from infiltration by unqualified people. So Lord Shiva, being such an exalted Vaishnava, being such an exalted personality, would consider himself the servant of the gopis. Similarly, Lakshmi Devi, in fact Lakshmi Devi, the consort of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha, could not even get a place to in Vrindavan, because she still had the abhiman or that kind of feeling of being a queen of Vaikuntha. And no one can come into Vrindavan if one has the sentiment of not only being a king but also being a queen. In Vrindavan, only Srimati Radharani is the queen and Sri Krishna is the king. That's all. Anyone who comes in with the sentiment of being a king or a queen will not be allowed in Vrindavan. So Lakshmi Devi has been performing austerities for a long time. Yad Vanchaya Shrir Lalana Charattapo Vihaya Kaman Suchiram Tradavrataha. For a long time she has been performing austerities to get the lotus feet, the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna in Braja. But she has been unable to obtain her cherished objective. So why would Lakshmi Devi want to enter into Rasa Leela? In fact, this is one question that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Venkata Bhatta when he was in Sri Rangam. And that is a beautiful dialogue that takes place there at that time. And Mahaprabhu even teases Venkata Bhatta a little bit. He establishes the super excellent position of the gopis in this dialogue with Venkata Bhatta. Narad Muni, the associate, eternal associate of Lord Krishna, also wanted to come and participate in the Rasa Leela. He wanted to come and see what this wonderful pastime was like. But he also had to change his form by dipping in the Kusuma Sarovar. And then he became Naradiya Gopi. And then he was able to witness these pastimes. Actually, one Acharya has commented that when Narad Muni was cursed by Daksha, because he made all his sons brahmacharis, that he would never stay at one place in the material world, he would constantly be roaming, then Krishna advised Narada, you go and stay in Braja. You know, even though Daksha had cursed Narada, but Krishna is the lord of Narada. So he told Narada, you go and stay in Braja, because Braja is not a part of the material world. So the curse of Daksha that you will not be able to stay in one place applies to the material world. But since Braj is outside the world, the material world, it is my abode, therefore you go and stay there. So Narad Muni went there and he got the form of a gopi, and it is said he also went to Govardhan and then composed his Narada Bhakti Sutra. So in any case, Narad Muni also is a great personality who appreciates the position of the gopis. So many of our great sannyasis in the Vaishnava sampradayas, starting with Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Nimbarkacharya, etc., they have glorified the gopis' love for Krishna. They also consider these pastimes to be worshipable. Why would sannyasis who have given up all association with women especially such exalted sannyasis and acharyas, why would they worship such pastimes? If it were an ordinary mundane relationship between a man and a woman of this world. So the fact that these great personalities are considering these pastimes to be so exalted that they worship them, it's not just one or two people, it is over history, hundreds of thousands of such exalted personalities have worshipped. And these are all knowledgeable people who have deep knowledge of the scriptures, who have controlled their senses completely, who have pure intelligence, who have very exalted spiritual realization. Why would these people view the dealings of the gopis with Krishna as so high? So therefore it means that these activities are very, very pure and spiritual. Even the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Gopi Bhava Rasamritabda Lahari Kallol Magno Muhur Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yugo Shri Jeeva Gopalako. So we hear that the six Goswamis of Vrindavan were always merged in the ocean, ecstatic ocean of the Gopis' love for Krishna. And they repeatedly bathed in the waves of that ocean. Now why would they do this? They were such strict renunciants. We can hardly find renunciants like the six Goswamis. It is not possible for anyone to imitate their kind of renunciation. So such renunciants, such celibates, used to swim in the ocean of the gopis' love for Krishna. Why would they do this unless it was completely transcendental, completely spiritual? So this is the first reason why we should accept that the dealings of gopis with Krishna is not something material and definitely not worthy of our criticism and misunderstanding. In fact, it is by exhibiting such pastimes that Krishna wants to purify our hearts. It is by such pastimes that Krishna wants to attract us to Him. We have had the Janmashtami festival some days ago, and I was repeatedly citing this one verse which is so important for us. It is from the 33rd chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Shukadev Goswami says, Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham asthitaha bhajate tadrashi krida yah shrutva tatparo bhavet. The meaning of this verse is that the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna descends into this world for the sake of giving anugraha or mercy to the devotees. Anugrahaya bhaktanam. And He descends in a human-like form. Manusham deham asthitaha. It is only human-like. Krishna is never human. Even though He may appear in the human species and mingle with ordinary human beings as if He were also an ordinary human being, but the fact remains that He is eternally, even when He advents in the material world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So He performs all these beautiful pastimes. Bhajate tadrashi krida. Krida means the activities of pastimes. Bhajate, He enjoys them. And when we, yashrutva, whoever hears about them, immediately will become devoted to Him. Yashrutva tatparo bhavet. He becomes tatparaha. He becomes a devotee of the Lord. So how can one become a devotee of the Lord? By hearing of such pastimes if it were not spiritual? Can we become a devotee of the Lord by hearing about ordinary pastimes, not pastimes, but the activities of ordinary men and women of this world? Say the cinema, what goes on in the movies between the hero and the heroine. Can we become spiritually self-realized by hearing such things? No. So this is the second reason, that these pastimes are so pure that by hearing them, we become self-realized. We become transcendental to the material modes of nature. So if these pastimes between the gopis and Krishna were ordinary, mundane pastimes, no one could have become self-realized by hearing about them and meditating about them. Of course, it must be mentioned that such pastimes being very, very advanced, very pure, and very liable to be misunderstood, especially by those who are in the clutches of the three modes of material nature, therefore they must be heard only from the mouths of advanced devotees, and they must be heard only when one is very advanced oneself. Srila Prabhupada cautions us that one should not hear about these esoteric pastimes in detail unless one is very advanced. But it is important for us to understand the tattva of these pastimes, even though we will not go into the pastimes themselves. But to understand why these pastimes are so exalted, that is very important for us. So this was the second reason, the proof that these pastimes are spiritual, that we ourselves become self-realized. The third reason, very simple. When you see ordinary children playing, the boys and girls mix together and play, small children, isn't it? When you grow up, then there is a distinction between men and women. Just like here in the temple, you see the men sitting in one place, the ladies sitting in another place. So there is a reason for that, especially in a temple. But when there are small children, we may not be so strict about that. So children, boys and girls, will play with each other. And we don't consider it to be anything wrong, because they are very innocent. How old was Krishna when he performed the Rasa Leela? He was only 8 years old. He was 7 years old when he lifted Govardhan Hill, and 8 years old when he had the Rasa Leela on Sharad Purnima. So if someone tells you, what is this, Krishna does Rasa Leela? Yeah, he was only 8 years old at that time. So immediately you can just quieten the situation. The fourth point, which is necessary for us in order to clearly understand the Rasa Leela properly and to see how it is exalted and not objectionable, is to understand who is Krishna. Those who criticize Krishna's Rasa Leela and Krishna's dealings with the gopis do so because they do not know who is Krishna. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Shad Aishwarya Sampanna. He is endowed with all 6 opulences in perfection and completeness. He is the source of everything. We see that in this material world, there is a conjugal mood. There is attraction between men and women, sometimes legitimate, sometimes illegitimate. Sometimes licit, sometimes illicit. But it is there in this world. So the fact that something exists in this world means that it must exist in the source from whom everything comes. So therefore, if these dealings can exist amongst human beings and even amongst the other species of life, how is it possible that it does not exist in the Absolute Truth? The Absolute Truth, being the source of everything, includes all that is seen in the world and even that which is beyond the world. So if the dealings between male and female are seen here in this world, why should they not be seen on the transcendental platform in the spiritual world? The only difference is that this is the perverted form and that is the pure form. That is the only difference. So therefore, The relationships that we find here in the world of five types also exist in the spiritual world. And one of the five relationships that exist here is the Madhurya Bhav, the conjugal mood that exists between a man and a woman. But as I mentioned, because these are perverted forms, they create misery. They increase and perpetuate our ignorance. But in the spiritual world, these five relationships, including the Madhurya Ras, exist in utmost purity and on the transcendental platform. And because Krishna is Bhagavan, it also means that He is the supreme enjoyer. He is Bhokta. We are Bhojya. We are to be enjoyed. Krishna is the enjoyer. Krishna is Purusha. We are Prakriti. The word Purusha in Sanskrit refers to enjoyer. And Prakriti refers to that which is enjoyed. So everything apart from Krishna, Krishna's energies are Prakriti. So the energies are meant to be enjoyed by the Purusha, Krishna. So therefore we are all Prakriti and we are all meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. Purusha is masculine gender. Prakriti is feminine gender. So not just the gopis, but all of us, at an ontological level, at a philosophical level, not in terms of our bodies, but in terms of the philosophy or ontology, we are all feminine gender. So in the sense that we are all meant only for Krishna's enjoyment and pleasure. So therefore, because He is the Supreme Lord, He is the source of everything, and because everything is meant for His enjoyment, it is His energy, so where is the question of any objection or any immorality, etc. in Krishna's activities? This is a very important point. Therefore, Krishna is called Jivapati. He is the husband of all jivas. Not only the husband of the gopis. When a man moves with his wife, he is going somewhere. Does anybody object? So why should you object if Krishna is there with anyone? Everyone is, he is the pati of everyone. He is jiva pati, not only gopi pati. So Krishna, being Bhagavan, is the husband of all living entities. And therefore, if he is enjoying the Rasalila pastimes or some other pastimes with the gopis, where is the objection? Where is the problem? In the Jaiva Dharma, it is also explained that in the material world, one jiva tries to enjoy another jiva. That is the problem. And this is opposed to the fundamental tattva or the principle that it is only Krishna who is the enjoyer. And we are the enjoyed. So, in the material world, this principle is violated by the conditioned living entities. Where one entity wants to enjoy another entity. But Krishna is not enjoying any other entity. There is nothing, no other for Krishna. There is nothing separate from Krishna. There is nothing independent of Krishna. There is nothing outside of Krishna. So therefore, Krishna's activities with the gopis are perfectly in line with the idea of His being Bhagavan, being the supreme enjoyer. Also, we need to keep in mind that the gopis had prayed to Katyayani. They had performed the Katyayani Vrata to get Krishna as their husband. So Krishna fulfilled their desire. He had also made the promise to them when He had stolen their clothes, the Vastraharan Leela. So Krishna became their husband. And because He is the Lord of everyone, He is the husband of everyone. So his various types of pastimes with the gopis are not in any way objectionable. The next point we need to understand after understanding who is Krishna is who are the gopis. Because understanding Krishna is only one part of the equation. The other part is the participants in Krishna's pastimes. It is the gopis. So the gopis, it is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the acharyas have commented significantly on this, are all liberated souls. They had spiritual bodies. They are a manifestation of the internal spiritual energy of Krishna. Their bodies are not made of the external material energy. Krishna has no business enjoying the material energy. He doesn't do that. It is only the conditioned living entities who try to exploit the resources of material nature for their enjoyment. And this leads to misery. But Krishna does not sport with the material energy. He sports and enjoys only with his internal potency. In this world, we see that it is natural for someone in a male body to be attracted to someone in a female body. This attraction of the female for the male is something that is natural in this world. Of course, because it is on the bodily platform, this kind of bodily attraction is unnatural for the soul. But in the material world, we find this happening. So where is this coming from? It is coming from Krishna, who is a supreme male. Therefore, he also wants to be attracted to the supreme female and to many females. Therefore, what can he do? Who is there apart from him? He is the only one who exists. So therefore, what does he do? If he wants to enjoy with any female, if he wants to be attracted to any female, he has to create those females. So he creates the gopis. So his internal potency, his yogamaya potency, creates the gopis. So the gopis are merely personalities, not merely, the word is not right. The gopis are manifestations of the yogamaya potency, the internal potency of Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions in one place that Krishna's dealings with the gopis are like the activities of a child playing with his own reflection. Krishna is not enjoying anything outside of himself. Now these are philosophical things which people do not know. So they simply see things from a material point of view and just criticize Krishna. The sixth point. Now some people say, and which is true, that Krishna went to a solitary place. The Bhagavatam itself describes. He went to a solitary place with the gopis and he enjoyed pastimes with them, like the Rasa Leela. Now consider, which is the most solitary place that is possible? Within the heart, isn't it? Physically, if you go somewhere, you can be seen by somebody. Someone somewhere, some camera, someone can see you. But within the heart, it's the most solitary place. No one can see you there. So Krishna is situated in the heart of the gopis, like he's situated in the heart of every living entity. He is already in a solitary place with the gopis, like with everybody else. So there is no objection if externally also he goes to a solitary place with the gopis. This is a slightly intricate point, but it is important. Point number 7. The manifestations of yogamaya they represent the pastimes. They constitute the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, or gopis and Krishna, and in fact all pastimes in the spiritual world. The activities in the material world by conditioned living entities are under the jurisdiction of Mahamaya. Maya means that which is not, which is illusion. Mahamaya increases our forgetfulness of Krishna. It increases our misery and our bondage in this material world. So the activities of men and women in this world are under the domain of Mahamaya. But the activities of Krishna with the gopis are in the domain of Yogamaya. Yogamaya is a special internal energy of Krishna which facilitates Krishna's spiritual pastime and enables Krishna to relish transcendental bliss. It is not an ordinary activity. In the Vedanta Sutra, it has been mentioned that the Supreme Absolute Truth is the relisher of transcendental bliss. Anandamayobhyasat. So the question may be asked that if the Lord is complete and perfect, then why does he need to take any steps to enjoy himself? Because such philosophers, they consider the position of a person in the conditioned state of life. They think in this world people try to enjoy and fulfill material desires because there is some lack or some inadequacy in them. Therefore they try to enjoy to fulfill that need. But the absolute truth should be complete in himself. So why should he perform any pastimes? Does it mean that he is incomplete? He cannot be incomplete. Therefore, there is a confusion here. But the point is that even though Krishna is the ultimate Atmaram, he is perfect and complete in terms of being fully self-satisfied. But because he is also unlimited, his desires for enjoyment and the facilities that can be afforded for his enjoyment are also unlimited. So even though there is no need for Krishna to do these things, even though there is no inadequacy for Krishna to do these things, he nevertheless expands himself and his energies into the forms of the gopis and enjoys transcendental bliss with all of them. He expands his bliss unlimitedly. And all this is facilitated by Yogamaya. So these are not ordinary material activities. Point number 8. Actually, there could be so many points. We'll go only for another few minutes, maybe one or two more points. And then we'll close. Point number 8 is about the material world being a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. When you see the bank of a river, you stand at the bank of a river and see your own reflection in the water, you will see the reflection inverted in the sense that the head will be below and the feet are up. Whereas in the reality, the feet are below and the head is up. So, the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis in Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, that is called Aprakat Vrindavan or Paravyoma Vrindavan. Vyoma means sky, para means supreme or spiritual. So that Paravyoma Vrindavan or Aprakat, unmanifest Vrindavan has the pastimes of the gopis with Krishna going on eternally. And they constitute the highest, most exalted pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world. Higher than the pastimes of the Lord in the Vaikuntha planets as Lord Narayan. Higher even than the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra in Ayodhya. Higher than the pastimes of Krishna in Dwarka and Mathura. Higher even than the other pastimes in Vraja, in Goloka, in the other rasas. So because that is the original, when it is reflected in the material world, the highest appears to be the lowest. So the highest pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world with the gopis are considered by materialistic people to be abominable, immoral. So the highest appears to be the lowest. But actually, because we are in the reflection, it only appears so. Because this is the relationship between men and women are perverted reflections of that original spiritual reality. Therefore, we should see that if this is the reflection, then the reality must be so high. All the acharyas have confirmed this fact that the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis are the highest pastimes of the Lord ever. In this way we can understand the glories of the Supreme Lord with the gopis. The pastimes that He manifests in Vrindavan when He comes here are replicas of the same pastimes that He does there. This is called the Parakiya Ras. This is mentioned, the word is not mentioned, but the subject of today's verse and the purport is the Parakiya Ras. The Parakiya Ras means that it is the relationship between a man and a woman outside of marriage. Svakiya Ras means the relationship between a man and a woman within marriage. So when Krishna wants to enjoy Madhurya Ras, He does so in two ways, in the Svakiya Ras and in the Parakiya Ras. The Svakiya Ras is found in Dwarka, where Krishna lives with the queens as a married husband and the queens are married to Him. However, in Vrindavan, the pastimes are Parakiya. But of course, ultimately, these are all eternal consorts of Krishna from the spiritual world. And it is only for the sake of satisfying people who may see things from a materialistic perspective that Krishna apparently gets married to Radharani in Vrindavan. So therefore you have the pastime in Bhandirvan where He will get married. Brahma comes and performs the wedding ceremony of Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Or you may have some pastimes where, for example, Lalita Sakhi, Vishakha Sakhi will tie the clothes, you know, of Krishna and Radharani together, because that is supposed to happen in a marriage ceremony. When the groom and the bridegroom, they go around the fire, their clothes are supposed to be tied in a knot. In fact, near Govardhan, there is a place called Gantuli. Gantuli comes from the word gant. Gant means a knot. That is the place the gopis tied the knots, tied the clothes of Radharani and Krishna together in a knot to indicate that they were married. But this is play marriage. This only enhances the bliss of the Parakiya Ras. So these are things that our acharyas are explaining. And because it is so much misunderstood today, it has always been misunderstood, so much so that even Jiva Goswami had to write many things to satisfy those who were objecting in Braja. And they also said that the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis in Vrindavan is actually Svakiya Ras. See, Krishna married Radharani. So to satisfy them, Srila Jiva Goswami said a few things. But ultimately the verdict of our acharyas and of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that this Parakiya Ras of the dealings of Krishna with the gopis constitute the highest ever possible love between any living entity or any entity and Krishna. It represents the pinnacle of all spiritual bliss. And we can only hope and pray that one day we will have some atomic taste of that rasa. Srila Prabhupada did caution us, as I mentioned earlier, to not try to hear about or read these actual pastimes because they're meant for very advanced devotees. But nevertheless, the tattva is important, and I tried to present some of the points. There are many more points actually. I tried to present some of the points in relation to the gopis and Krishna so that they are understood in the proper context. I think we have a few minutes for comments and questions. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, Mahaprabhuji. Hare Krishna, Mahaprabhuji. Yes, Mahaprabhuji doesn't need a mic, of course. The question is, what is spiritual purity? Spiritual purity is the absence of material impurity. Right? Material means impure. When matter becomes used in Krishna's service, it becomes spiritual. So when our hearts have anything other than the objective of service to Krishna and giving pleasure to Krishna, that is absence of spiritual purity. So spiritual purity means at the highest level to be completely absorbed only with the desire to please and serve Krishna and to love Him. At an everyday level, spiritual purity would indicate strong determination and sincerity in following the orders of the spiritual master. Alright? Any other question or comment? Raise your hand so we can see who wants to ask. Yes.
Gopis, Braj Gopis of Vrindavan, they are uneducated. Similarly, the Brahmanis, Patnis, they are also uneducated. But their love, because of, by simply love Krishna, they achieve this platform. We are also not initiated devotee. We didn't get Diksha. So we can perform like this love with Krishna and achieve this.
Yes, completely. Simple. But you must follow the instructions. Yes? Never mind, you will get Diksha one day. But till such time as you get Diksha, you should not feel discouraged and think there is no hope or no scope. But provided you are taking proper shiksha, if you are under proper shelter of bona fide devotees and taking good instructions from them and you are following the practices of devotional service, then certainly you will attain. Okay? Your question is, the gopis didn't have any gurus. No. The gopis did not have any diksha. Yes, the gopis did not take any diksha, but nevertheless they became pure devotees. All that they had done in previous lives, they finished this business of diksha, everything they had done previously. They were born with transcendental devotion. See, there are two types of gopis. One set of gopis were those who came with Krishna from Goloka Vrindavan. They are called Nitya Siddhas. They participated in Krishna's Leela and went back with Krishna. The other set are called Sadhana Siddha Gopis, who performed devotional service and austerities for many lifetimes on this earth or somewhere in the material world. And then they got a chance to participate in Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan that was manifested on the earth. Bhauma Vrindavan. Vrindavan on Bhumi. Bhauma Vrindavan or Prakat Vrindavan. So they participated. They were very, very, very exalted souls. They were pure devotees. So they got a chance to participate in these pastimes. And they also got the chance to be trained by these Nitya Siddha devotees. Then they went back. So these devotees, even the Sadhana Siddha ones, were so exalted. They were already spontaneous devotees. They may have had, for the sake of pastime in the village, their village gurus and so on. But ultimately, for them, Krishna is their guru. Krishna is everything for them. Okay? Any other question or pastime? Yes, a mic please over there. The mic is coming up, I think.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the very wonderful class. So I had a query that so while practicing devotional service for a couple of years, at least I have developed a taste for Krishna Prasadam, I have developed a taste for Harinam Sankirtan, but developing taste for chanting the holy names is something that is very, very difficult. So if you can give us some tips on how we develop taste for chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, because it's generally you complete your 16 rounds and it's everything, every day you want to, once you complete the 16 rounds, is it, yes, today I have finished. So it's not like, I want to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So please, can you give us some tips around that? Hare Krishna.
We can get something only from where it is available. So, if we are seeking taste in doing something, we must associate with those who have that taste. So we have so many devotees who gather here every morning to chant. If you come here more often and chant with them, that will be very helpful in developing that taste. And also it is important to hear. The more we hear, the more we will develop taste to chant. Okay? Okay, one final question, if there is. Okay, so we will stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.
Hare Krishna. So, with on behalf of everyone here, wanted to just very gratefully thank His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj. In one sense, he is really speaking, it's a homecoming, because he's actually from this temple. We will never let him forget that. And we are very deeply grateful. Many of you are young, you may not know, but Maharaj was actually the most important personality to execute Guru's instructions for Radha Gopinath Mandir, the first president, and he spent the first 1.5 decades here nurturing everyone around. So we're very grateful, and Maharaj, just so that you may perhaps take it a little more seriously, that in front of all we are requesting that can you please make this more often, because we are perhaps the fault is ours, because I think we didn't really demonstrate our desperate keenness that you come. So I'm officially stating it, but we'll also do our best to, of course, within your convenience. Maharaj travels all over the world. Also, he's giving a presentation on a very special project which was done in an NGO called Venu Madhuri, which Maharaj was an inspiration, and he nurtured that also. So he's giving that in the afternoon at 3 o'clock in Gopalji Hall here. So in case those who are interested, there are several who are coming, but anybody else wants to come, they can always come at 3 o'clock sharp. Also, Maharaj is giving a 7 days Bhagavatam class in Hindi in at ISKCON Juhu in the Mandapam Hall from 18th to 24th September. 18th to 24th September, 7 to 9 p.m. on the occasion of Bhadra Purnima. Bhadra Purnima is on the 24th, the culmination. But 7 days from 18 to 24, 7 to 9 p.m. at the ISKCON Juhu Mandapam Hall. So those who would like to and can make it can take note of this. Hare Krishna.